Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Renee Stubbs Tennis Podcast. It has been an unbelievable few days of tennis, as we talked about day before yesterday. It was probably one of the greatest days of Grand Slam tennis play that I've ever been involved with. I mean, as a player, as a commentator, it was just incredible. But yesterday was a bit of a pooper scooper. Let's put it that way. It was not a great day of tennis. So if you had tickets yesterday, you got an average day of tennis. The day before, you got one of the greatest. So that's just the luck of the draw. But having said that, we still had a couple of pretty good matches. It was probably finished off with the best match of the day as far as just being competitive. And yes, you probably don't hear Petco's voice today because she went to the post office to pick up some clothes that she bought online. And then they got delivered here, but she wasn't here because she's at the tennis all day, just like I am. And then they delivered it to the post office. And then she had to go to the post office. But my little German, she's probably gotten lost. She was supposed to be back here for her car at 10:45, which is in 14 minutes. And she has, I might have to send out a tracking dog to go find her. But in the meantime, you've got me, which is fine, I suspect. But she's much funnier than me. So hopefully she gets back in time before her car. But I'm going to go through a couple of things while she's not here. And she'll come bursting through the door any second now and be like, oh, Broody, I'm so sorry. I got lost. I went the wrong way. I went to the city. Anyway. But in the meantime, Storm Hunter played against Barbora Krejcikova last night. They played after midnight once again. Oh, and she's coming through the door. Here she is. Here she is. Just in time. I told everybody that you were lost in Melbourne and you didn't know where you were going.
The line was through the fucking 500 people waiting to pick up.
And you thought you were going there at 10 o'clock when it opens and you were going to be the first in line.
I was the first in line, but after 700 people, I was the first in line.
Guess what? Everybody else had the same idea.
Oh, my God.
She's actually sweating. Is it hot outside?
It's like humid. It's much warmer than it used to be.
All right, good. Well, listen, I was just starting the pod.
Yes.
As thinking that you were going to come bursting through the door.
As I did.
As you did. but anyway, I was just saying that the match of the day, probably yesterday, as far as the matches were concerned, were probably the last match of the day in Krejcikova and Storm Hunter, just as far as drama is concerned.
Yeah.
On the women's side, anyway, as I'm sitting here fanning you, Broody. But that was probably the best women's match yesterday. Yeah. Although
it just comes to show you that life always finds a way to balance itself out.
Well, yeah, because I said that 2 days ago was one of the greatest days in tennis history, and yesterday was a bit of a pooper scooper.
Exactly.
That was my terminology.
Pooper scooper is nice. Yeah, you're right. There was a Coco Gauff easy, Sabalenka easy. Who else easy? I mean, almost everyone.
Sabalenka wasn't easy. It was a smacking. She didn't lose a game in the third round of the Australian Open. It gets a pretty good player in Serenko, but Serenko's a little weird sometimes. But that's a joke. 0-0? Yeah. Come on, you got to win a game, for fuck's sake.
It was a very good performance. The problem with Serenko is she just didn't have any weapons to take time away from Arena. So she was, you can see that she's feeling good about herself. And the only time, only either, and Serenko, that was the problem. She doesn't have the slicing and dicing.
Yeah.
That can get her off. She plays really nice. She plays a nice tempo. She plays nice ground stroke.
She plays perfect.
Yeah. She plays exactly. So she was exactly playing in. Doesn't have a great serve. So Arina broke on every opportunity.
Literally,
yeah.
So Serenko, no match for Sabalenka, 0-0. Steph Tsitsipas looked really good against Van Asche. I mean, Van Asche's a good young player, but he just got outmatched. So it was good signs for Tsitsipas because he's been struggling through the tournament.
Especially after Kyrgios named him the tournament favorite.
I think he was joking. I think he was kind of saying that in jest. But anyway.
I feel like he was so up Novak's ass for the past 2 weeks that he's gotten shit about it. And he's like, okay, I have to pick somebody else just so people think that I'm not, you know, that I'm not a Novak fanboy
only. Or I've to become Novak's manager. But anyway. But speaking of Novak, holy shit, he came out yesterday. Thankfully for me, because I was second night match covering and commentating. And you were waiting here at home to let me into the apartment. So we didn't want another super late night.
No.
But he was on fire yesterday. Just super, super comfortable. He looked a little bit better. Although I still don't know if he's 100%. But he looked really good last night.
Well, with Novak, I sometimes wonder whether he... Because he's so confident in his abilities, as he should. Sometimes I wonder whether he honestly times his preparation to peak... In the second week of Grand Slams, you know, like everyone else normally times their peak performance for slams in general. And with him, it sometimes feel like, especially at the Australian Open, because he's the best player in the world. He always plays very far. He played Davis Cup, so he probably needed some rest. He started training later. So maybe he just, you know, started tennis a little bit later. And just when it matters, he will start to peak. And it's so much better that it doesn't even matter that he's not at 100% in the first week.
Yeah. So we'll see. Anyway, he looked unbelievable yesterday. So remember when I said, oh, I think Sinner can win. Oh, I think Novak's still the favorite. So I'm oscillating back and forth. But Krejcikova got through in that really tough match. She was about an inch away from Storm Hunter serving for the second set. Krejcikova hit at 15-40 down at 4-all or 5-all in the second set. An unbelievable, like, half hop backhand. Like, we always talk about how she has to time it. And when she's timing in the ball, she's, like, so good.
Yeah.
And when she started to walk up to this, like, floaty ball on the backhand, me courtside, I was like, oh, my God, what is she doing? Like, first of all, either take it in the air.
Yeah.
Or let it come down to a natural position around hip level. She decided to, like, take that half
hop. Like, half volley.
Yeah. I was like, you literally made that the most difficult shot she could possibly hit. And I know she's great at that, but boy, did she take a risk there. And she hit it on the sideline enough to the point that Storm was running for it and stopped running for it because she thought it was going out. And could she have gotten there and done something to it? I don't know, but she certainly would have made it back. And she didn't. And then it was 30-40, and then Storm hit... Still missed a return on the forehand. Off a good serve, but still, that's where she got tight.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything turned around after that. And she played much better. Although it got a bit shaky in the third as well. The crowd, God love them, that stayed there till like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, really tried to get behind her. But it was a great match. Krejcikova, we're not talking about her at all. She's a former slam champion, or a slam champion. And so... You know, she goes up against Mira Andreeva. Yeah. Can we talk about that fucking comeback?
Oh,
that was probably the match of the day, for sure.
Diane Paris, plays so beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean...
She's like a newer version... well, not a newer version, but a version of Suarez Navarro.
Yes.
Suarez
Navarro. Yeah. With the one-handed backhand.
Yeah, one-handed backhand.
Nice
beautiful.
Slice.
Not tall.
Heavy spin, not tall. Great kick. I mean, really, she plays beautiful. But also, Andreeva, what a fighter.
Oh, my God. I love... If you haven't seen the tweet from Andy Murray, where he literally throws the commentator under the bus, whoever was doing the match, basically, she needs to improve her attitude, you know, blah, blah, blah. This was at 5-1. And then Andy basically says, well, I guess that attitude is also something of a perfectionist who actually refuses to lose. And so 16 years of age, now plays against Krejcikova. That is going to be a fun match.
Yeah.
Because, boy, can she move around the court as well. And I'm just thinking to myself, 16, she's already gotten stronger in a year. Physically, she's going to get so much stronger in the next 2 or 3 years. Look at Coco. Coco, to me, is so much stronger in her upper body than she was just at the US Open.
Yes.
So her off-season training, I hugged her the first time I saw her, and I was like, oh, man. I said to her, oh, my God, what have you been doing in the off-season? She's so strong in the upper body. And so much like Sabalenka, who looks like, oh, my God, like, she is so strong. Anyway,
Well, and Mira Andreeva. Just on Mira awesome. Andreeva, one thing I have to say, she fought amazing. She, what a like really mental fortitude. But she did play again, half the pace than she played against Andreeva. And I expect her to pick it up again because I was calling a parallel match. And I guess because, you know, she knew against Ons she has to do something special. And then she played somebody that is not as highly ranked, that is not as well known around the tour yet. And she went back to the old putting the ball in and hoping the other one misses. And then when she was down, she picked it up again. And that's why she did turn it around, because she's so, so good that she's just better. She doesn't lose a game then when she hits a bit harder. But she had a little phase in that first set and the third set where she was pushing the ball
became again. Became a junior again.
Just a junior,
just,
exactly.
I'm not going to miss and they're going to miss. Yeah. And she played it, was playing against a very good player. But having said that, it was also very, it was quite windy.
It was windy. It was and this easy. Court three is always difficult to play. I mean, honestly, it was so fun. I was calling 1573, which is on the other side of the, and you could hear.
I know.
The audience going, whoa, all the time. And Kia, it was so fun. French fans were amazing. So it was on both sides. Obviously, the Aussie crowd was rooting for the underdog a bit more, for the 16-year-old. But then I think that's what you want to lead to now, the French fans.
I was about to say, well, speaking of French, who didn't joke, Manorino. Oh, yes. My God. What an effort from him to take out Ben Shelton. I'm kind of bummed. I want to see Ben play against Novak. We know the history of those two. The phone, hang up the phone kind of thing. And they've been kind of chippy at each other over the last couple of months. But, I mean, are you kidding me? Manorino, what is he, 36 years of age, the first time he's in the top 30 in the world. He's won 3 five-setters, I believe, in a row. I mean, how's the guy fucking walking? It's unbelievable. And he looked fresh as a daisy out there. Well, maybe not. But there was one shot that he hit yesterday where he hit a backspin backhand volley that went over the net. And before it bounced, he started turning around and to his people and just being like, you guys, did you see that? Do you see how good I am? It was unbelievable. It was such a great, fun, exciting match. The crowd was so for Ben. And then there was this pocket of French fans that have either transported them down here, transported themselves down here from France, or are working down here. So there's a lot of people, a lot of us, you know, foreigners that come to Melbourne and to Australia during winter or just for a year or something that work here. And I would suspect they probably live here. They got him through that match. It was so much fun. He goes up against Djokovic now. And I think that is going to be a fun match, but he's got no chance of beating Novak.
Well, and it's so fun to see them both coming to the net. There were passing shots. Oh, there were slices, drop shots, dices. It was just such a fun match.
It was an Andreja Pekovic type of match.
Yes, exactly.
Who never sliced or diced in her life.
Hey, I sliced. I definitely didn't dice.
No, definitely not dicing. I did a lot of dicing. I was very dicey on the court. So that was really, really good tennis from those guys. So there were some fun matches yesterday. It wasn't such a pooper scooper day. Yannick Sinner. Oh my God, he looks so good. I mean, Baez, I know, is more of a clay courter.
Yeah.
But holy shit, he made him look like a junior yesterday. Mm. He's playing so freaking well. Joke.
You know what? I think with Yannick, he's gotten stronger too. Talking about stronger, because he was always like hitting the ball and timing the ball incredibly well. But he just seems to be a bit like a little more muscle mass. He's still super lean and skinny.
He's so good.
But now he gets to more balls, and now that precise timing, he gets up to the ball quicker and he gets to the ball. And so he doesn't miss anymore from when you get him on a stretch. It's crazy. I don't know how to.
I know he's skinny, but he's a great skier. And I'm telling you, growing up skiing, I ski, and his legs are strong from that. And that helps him get down and get a low. Timofeeva beat Hadaj Maia.
Yeah.
She now goes up against Marta Kostyuk. Marta Kostyuk was out there crying and all over the shop in her match. She got through that, plays against Timofeeva, who's a qualifier. God almighty, are you kidding me?
What a section, yeah.
What an amazing. And Amanda Anisimova again beats Paul. I know Paula Badosa hasn't been playing, but still, Anisimova looks great. Now she goes up against Sabalenka. She has a 4-1 record against Sabalenka. So Sabalenka goes into the match with so much pressure on her shoulders against a player that knows how to beat her. And I tell you, when Anisimova's hitting the ball well, look the fuck out.
Well, and talking
is there
about
a better, more pure hitter of the ball?
On the backhand, definitely not. Forehand, sometimes.
But still, still pure.
It's still very pure. But the thing is, this is sometimes a bit challenging because Sabalenka has been so much better in the first three rounds. She's really cruel. She had a bit of challenge in the first set against Rubiatova. And now she's going to meet somebody that can really take time away from her.
And beat her.
And that is going to be very interesting. And now I really have to go.
My dear has to go. I will finish this up. Rublev, and as Petko runs to the bathroom to brush her teeth, hopefully. Not saying that she had bad breath, but listen, Amanda Anisimova looked awesome. Taylor Fritz also looked great yesterday. I know he lost the first set, but he looked really, really good. The only problem he had yesterday was the fact that he was running out of shoes. I mean, the dude just obliterates his shoes on the court from sliding, etc. But he looked really, really good. He goes up against Tsitsipas now, so that'll be an interesting fourth-round matchup with those guys. As I said, Rublev looked great against Korda. Korda had a chance to win that second set. Oh, my God. He had a lob that went over his head that I'm sure he probably saw about 8,000 times in his sleep last night, or lack of sleep. But he looked, Rublev looks awesome. And I tell you who else looks great. And I know he only played a qualifier, but Alex de Minaur, oh my God, he is looking so good. The top players that he's beaten over the last couple of months, or certainly over the last month, it is helping him so much in these moments of being clear and calm and all the things that I love about a player in these moments. And he is hitting the ball unbelievable. He's top 10 in the world now for a reason, because he is literally one of the best players in the world. And I don't see, whoever beats him is going to have to seriously play great tennis. So Alex looks awesome. Karen Khachanov won in four sets. He's my outside of the top 10 player to do the best. And he has certainly helped me look decently good in my predictions, because he is through. As I said, Manarino. Magdalena Freck won in three sets against another qualifier. There's so many little sections of the draw that are so open on the women's side, but inevitably that's what happens almost every Grand Slam, because women's tennis is so deep. And as I said, Marta Kostyuk beat Avanesian, who took out Sakari, and so Kostyuk is through as well. So anyway, guys, thanks again for joining us on day 6 recap. We can't wait for today. Another just amazing bunch of matches. We'll see how all those players can recover from their previous matches. Certainly one person to worry about as far as can they recover, of course, is Mr. Daniil Medvedev. Wow, what is he going to do? I mean, how's he going to... I don't even know how do you recover from that situation. I mean, he's so relaxed in general in some ways that he'll probably be fine. But still, that takes it out of you, finishing that late, you know, physically and emotionally and all that sort of stuff. But on the cards today, he plays again against Felix Auger-Aliassime. Nice to see Felix win some matches and get some confidence back. So I'm happy about that. And my outsider outside the top 10 in the women's side doing really well is Qin Wenjing. She goes up against fellow Chinese player Wang today. And I just think Qin Wen is somebody to watch out for. I think she can be in the top 10. Well, she's pretty close to it now. But I think she's going to be a perennial top 10 player, because I really, really like her and how she plays. So anyway, guys, tons of matches on today. Look forward to bringing the recap to you tomorrow. Thanks to my little Andrea Petkovic, who did her little back and forth to the post office, but managed to get back here for you guys. And so for everybody listening, and even for the transportation people here at the Australian Open, because we know there's some of you that listen to our podcast. We appreciate you volunteering and driving our butts to and from the tennis to our little abode here in Melbourne. So for everybody else, thanks for joining us today. And we're going to say cheers, cheers, cheers. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.